recorded. Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. My mind went blank right as I said that. I apologize. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I'd like to say good morning to you and welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty. I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to the church if you do not have a regular church home, or if you are visiting in the Boone area. Mount Lebanon is located 1128 Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we'd like to invite you to come be with us. We have Sunday morning Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages. We have our 11 a.m. worship service, and this Sunday is Easter. And so we especially invite you to come out and be with us this coming Sunday morning, Easter morning. And there's a lot of churches having sunrise services and things along those lines, but we'd love for you to come out and be with us. Now, we always have our Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 p.m., except for this Wednesday night, April the 4th. We are moving our prayer meeting to Friendship Baptist Church. I've been over there since Sunday night in a missions revival, and we've been having a good time over there with the folks at Friendship, and we love them in the Lord. And I appreciate Pastor Jeff Wilson giving us the opportunity to come and preach upon the subject of missions. So we will not be there this Wednesday night. We'll be over at Friendship, and we'd love for you to come and be with us over on Highway 88. And their service starts at 7:30 p.m. And so we would like to encourage you to come be with us, though, at any time at the church. I want to say good morning to you, and good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here today. I want to say how much we appreciate our listeners and those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those listening in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I appreciate Noah producing the program and the work that he does to get it prepared to put on the website, the church website, and also goes over to WZAP where they replay, or where they play this on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Now, last week we talked about the upcoming constitutional amendment on marriage that's going to take place in North Carolina on May the 8th. That is our time in this state for our primaries. And on the ballot this year is going to be a constitutional amendment on marriage. And I just want to say, for your information, if you would like to vote in the primaries, you're going to have to be registered by April the 13th. That's a Friday, April the 13th, by 5 p.m. And so that's a very short time. If you are not registered to vote and you would like to vote in this primary, you have to be registered by then. And all you have to do is go by the Watauga County Courthouse. It's on the bottom floor, first floor, and just go to the Board of Elections. It'll take you about 5 minutes to register to vote. And so I encourage you to do that. Everybody that is of voting age needs to be registered to vote. A lot of people are not, and I don't understand why not, but you ought to be informed, and you ought to be taking part in our free society that we have in America to go and vote. But I'm going to deal with this subject once again today because there is some confusion concerning this amendment. I've had several people ask me, now, Brother Wynn, what does that mean? Just to be sure, what are we looking at, and how is this going to be laid out on the ballot? Do we want to be for this, or do we want to be against this? And so I have a sample primary ballot before me this morning, and I'm going to read to you. You're going to go in, you're going to get a ballot to vote, and whatever you're registered as, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, unaffiliated, it does not matter. This constitutional amendment is going to be on every ballot that you receive. And so you go in, I'd like to vote. They're going to give you a ballot. And on that ballot, the very last item is a referendum, and it says constitutional amendment. And here's what it actually says, constitutional amendment to provide that marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. And then you've got a block to fill in. You're either going to be for it or you're going to be against it. Now, if you are for traditional marriage, if you are for marriage between one man and one woman, then you will want to be for this constitutional amendment. And so I wanted to go over that again today. I've had several people ask me, Christians, according to the Bible, do we want to be for this or do we want to be against this? And so I would say that if you want to be for traditional marriage, you want to fill in the block for this. And the reason I say that, there's a lot of confusion, and there are several advertisements in the local newspaper I've seen, and people have brought me where there are churches in the high country up here in Watauga County and other places that are voting against this. And so, so there's some confusion concerning that. But if you are for traditional marriage, you would want to be for this constitutional amendment. And I did just a little research, and there's a website. It's ncpedia.org/government. And so it's, I take it by the address that it's about from the state of North Carolina, the government of North Carolina. And on that website, I did some research about the North Carolina Constitution. And how many times, I was interested, how many times has it been amended since 1776? The North Carolina Constitution was ratified December of 1776. That's when it was penned and ratified. And it had some information on that website from 1869 to 1968. That's a period of about 100 years. There have been almost 100 amendment proposals. Now, not all of these have passed. Many of them did not, but many of them did. Most of these amendment proposals had to do with terms of office, bonds, taxes, how many years somebody was going to serve in office, and that's pretty much a summary of what the amendment proposals have been. Our present North Carolina Constitution was ratified in 1970, and it went into effect July the 1st, 1971. But there have been many amendments proposed to change the Constitution. But in recent years, in fact, I got to looking at it, I do not think that I have ever, in my years of voting now, since I was 18 years old, over 20 years, I'm 42, you can do the math there, but I've never voted for a constitutional amendment to change our Constitution, and it has pretty much been the way it is since 1970. And so this is without a doubt the most important matter that I have ever voted on in my lifetime, and many others will be the same way. But with that in mind, I wanted to bring out the North Carolina Constitution today. Now, I know that we have listeners in Tennessee and Virginia. I believe this would be good information for them as well, because most constitutions are worded very similarly. And so this would be good information for you as well, some of the things I'm going to try to bring out today. But I wanted to read from the North Carolina Constitution, the preamble to the North Carolina Constitution, and then Article 1, the Declaration of Rights. Now, here's what the North Carolina Constitution says. It says, "We the people of the state of North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of nations, for the preservation of the American Union and the existence of our civil, political, and religious liberties, and acknowledging our dependence upon Him for the continuance of those blessings to us and our posterity, do for the more certain security thereof, and for the better government of this state, ordain and establish this Constitution." Now, you notice there in the preamble to the Constitution of North Carolina, that we are grateful to Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of nations, that we are acknowledging our dependence upon Him for the continuance of those blessings to us and our posterity. That means our children and our children's children and our great-grandchildren and right on down the line. So since that's the case to the preamble of the Constitution of North Carolina, then I believe it's important that we ask ourselves the question when it comes to this important matter that we're discussing, this subject of marriage. We need to ask, well, what does God think about it? I mean, we recognize God in the preamble to our Constitution, and we are acknowledging our dependence upon Him. So, you know, it doesn't matter what I say about it. I've got an opinion just like everybody else. I'm not here promoting my opinion. What I'd like to share with you today is what God says about it. Doesn't matter what churches out here say about it. Either we line up with the Word of God or we do not. If we do not, then we do not. So what really matters to me and what I think is important is that we need to look and see what God thinks about marriage. And so I want to read a verse from the Scripture today, and we could read many others, but for the sake of time, we'll just share one or two today. Mark chapter 10 and verses 6 and 7 says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." The definition of marriage, according to the Bible, is one man, one woman for life. That is what the Word of God teaches, and it has been that way from the beginning of the creation. God made them male and female. This is describing what we call holy matrimony here. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And so we have a biblical definition of marriage. Now, if we vote for this constitutional amendment, that is also a biblical definition of marriage. One man, one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. Now, I realize there are many what they would consider themselves liberal-minded people out here, open-minded people, and say, well, what about homosexuals, and what about all of these things? Well, what does the Bible say about it? Same-sex unions are mentioned in the Bible many, many times, but if you study it out, they are never mentioned in a positive light. What I'm saying is God does not condone or promote homosexual unions. There's no such thing in God's sight as same-sex marriage. You do find same-sex unions in the Bible, but it always comes under the heading of sodomy. It's called uncleanness. It's called against nature, as well as other things. Read Deuteronomy chapter number 18 or Romans chapter number 1. You'll find that it is mentioned always in context with other sins, such as idol worship, child sacrifice, bestiality. That's a man or a woman that would lie down and have sex with an animal. That's the context that it's always mentioned. If you read Deuteronomy chapter number 18, that's that famous verse that says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is abomination. And so this is what the Bible has to say about these things. Now, we look back to the North Carolina Constitution, and I'm going to read Article 1, which is right at the beginning of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, the equality of rights and persons. Now, we're interested in this. I'm interested in rights and liberty. That's what our radio broadcast is about. Comes right out of the Bible. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. So the Declaration of Rights says this, that the great general and essential principles of liberty and free government may be recognized and established, and that the relations of this state to the Union and government of the United States and those of the people of this state to the rest of the American people may be defined and affirmed. We do declare that Section 1, Number 1, says this, the equality of rights and persons. It says, we hold it to be self-evident that all persons are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C, that's talking about the Lord God in the Bible. They're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the enjoyment of the fruits of their own labor, and the pursuit of happiness. You will notice that that is very close to the same language that you find in the Declaration of Independence, but the Constitution of North Carolina was actually before the Declaration of Independence, chronologically speaking. And so a lot of the state constitutions have the same or very familiar language, but I've heard this argued before. I've had people say, well, same-sex marriage should be allowed because of the Declaration of Independence, because of the Constitution. And they talk about equality and life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. I'll say, well, what about my happiness? Well, that's a good question. What about, what do you say about that? How do we line that up here with what I've been saying and what the Bible says and what the Declaration of Independence says? Let me read just a couple of sentences from the Declaration of Independence. This is from the second paragraph. Actually, it's probably the most well-known. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Then it says this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Notice it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Government, good government, secures these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Good government will secure these rights. Good government protects the core of society for everybody. For everybody, good government should protect the family, because family is the cornerstone of society. Good government should protect family, not tear the family apart, not pass laws that are anti-family, that will tear down the family, because when you tear down the family, you tear down society as a whole. And so before we go passing laws and changing things, we need to ask ourselves, would it be beneficial for society to change marriage from a man and a woman to a genderless institution? And let me say, if we the people do not decide this, it will be decided. There are already lawsuits in North Carolina along these lines. In fact, today in the Winston-Salem Journal, there was under the on the page where there's state news, there was an article there, just a little news piece that said, judge dismisses North Carolina marriage license lawsuit. And these things are already being brought up in the courts. And this is how this has been brought into being in many other states. It's been decided in the courts. We don't want this to be decided in the courts, because the courts are liberal and many judges out here have lost their mind. And I'm not going to deal with that today, but we the people have the opportunity in North Carolina to protect the institution of marriage by passing this constitutional amendment. And if we don't do it, the courts will. It's already in the court system. Now, would this be good for all of society? Would this protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for everybody in the state of North Carolina? I believe that it would do us good to look at what has happened in the state of Massachusetts. And I mentioned that last week. I brought an article with me And the title of it is What Same-Sex Marriage Has Done to Massachusetts. It says it's far worse than most people realize. I'm going to share just a few things from that article. But what you need to realize when we're talking about this subject, if same-sex marriage was passed in the state of North Carolina and where it has been passed in other states, we need to realize that when same-sex marriage comes to a state, it is not just that it is allowed, it becomes the law. And in becoming the law, it becomes condoned and promoted by the state. Now, right now in North Carolina, a traditional marriage is the law of the land, marriage between a man and a woman. That is the only law that is recognized or allowed in the state of North Carolina. And so traditional marriage is promoted by the state. Yes, the state does promote it. You can get a license. You must get a license to get married. It's promoted by the state. It is protected by the state. There are laws that protect the institution of marriage. That is good for everybody. That protects everybody's life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. Nobody can come along and take my wife away from me and say, well, I'd like, no, the marriage is protected by law. It is licensed. It is lawful. It is normal. Nobody would think anything about an elementary school teacher, two elementary school teachers that were married to each other, husband and wife, working side by side there together in the school system, a man and a woman teaching the children. That's normal. Nobody would think anything about that. It's protected. It's good. It's holy according to the Bible. It's honorable according to the Bible, and it is honorable in society. But when same-sex marriage comes to a state, everything that applies to traditional marriages will then apply to the same-sex unions, to homosexual marriage. Now, I want to share just a thing or two from this article that I've brought, What Same-Sex Marriage Has Done to Massachusetts. The author of this article is named Brian Kamenicker, and he wrote this. He lives in Massachusetts, and he has observed what happened after it became the law of the land in Massachusetts. Now, he says, I don't have time to read very much, but he says, at my own children's high school, there was a school-wide assembly to celebrate same-sex marriage in early December. This was less than a month after the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court announced that same-sex marriage was going to become the law of the land. Within a month, at his children's high school, there was a school-wide assembly to celebrate same-sex marriage. He said it featured an array of speakers, including teachers at the school, who announced that they would be marrying their same-sex partners and starting families either through adoption or artificial insemination. A literature on same-sex marriage, how it is now a normal part of society, was handed out to the students. He goes on down. He said within months it was brought into the middle schools. In September of the following year, an eighth grade teacher in Brookline, Massachusetts, told National Public Radio that the marriage ruling had opened up the floodgates for teaching homosexuality. She said, in my mind, I know that, okay, this is legal now. If somebody wants to challenge me, I'll say, give me a break. It's legal now, she told NPR. She added that she now discusses gay sex with her students as explicitly as she desires, and goes on down to give examples of how that lesbians, and I'm not even going to, it's awful, it's X-rated, what goes on in the schools when homosexual marriage becomes the law of the land. It becomes protected, it becomes condoned, is what I'm saying. That's what the law is. And so is that good for everybody? Listen to this. By the following year, it was in elementary school curricula. Kindergartners were given picture books telling them that same-sex couples are just another kind of family, like their own parents. In 2005, when David Parker of Lexington, Massachusetts, a parent of a kindergartner, strongly insisted on being notified when teachers were discussing homosexuality or transgenderism with his son, the school had him arrested and put in jail overnight. Now, does that protect the life, the liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and of everybody? No, it immediately goes against those that are for traditional marriage. He goes on, he said, second graders at the same school were read a book, King and King, about two men who have a romance and marry each other with a picture of them kissing. When parents Rob and Robin Werleth complained, they were told that the school had no obligation to notify them or allow them to opt out their child. In 2006, the Parkers and Werleths filed a federal civil rights lawsuit to force the schools to notify and allow them to opt out their elementary school children when homosexual-related subjects were taught. The federal judges dismissed the case. The judges ruled, now listen to this, the judges ruled that because same-sex marriage is legal in Massachusetts, the school actually had a duty to normalize homosexual relationships to children, and that schools have no obligation to notify parents or let them opt out their children. Acceptance of homosexuality had become a matter of good citizenship. Now, if you're against that, if you're against homosexual marriage and it comes to North Carolina, do you know what? If you stand up and say anything about it, you become the criminal. You become the bad person. You're not a good citizen because you're not going along with the law. And he says this in the article. He says, think about that. Because same-sex marriage is legal, a federal judge has ruled that the schools now have a duty to portray homosexual relationships as normal to children, despite what parents think or believe. And so it doesn't matter if you're against it as a parent. It becomes the law of the land. And so if you send your child to public school, you have no say-so in this whatsoever. And so we could go on and talk about, he gives many other examples of such things as gay days in schools are considered necessary to fight intolerance. Once homosexuality is normalized, all boundaries begin to go down. And he talks about in there how that public health has been affected and the AIDS rate has gone up. And Massachusetts has had to spend more and more to fight AIDS. He talks about domestic violence and many other things I don't have time to deal with today. I have a pastor friend, and he is a pastor in a state that has same-sex marriage legalized. I contacted him. I asked him about pastoring in a state like this. He said one thing for sure, it does affect the children. He has been dealing with a young man who's been struggling with homosexuality in his life for the past few years. And the reason that the young man is a homosexual to begin with is because in his public school, he was taught that he could not know if he's straight or homosexual or a homosexual until he had tried both of them. This is a teenager. This is a young person that doesn't even have their driver's license yet, has been told in school that he needs to try the homosexual lifestyle to see. You see what I'm saying? Good government does not pass laws to tear the family apart, to destroy the structure of society, to destroy the lives of young people. Good government protects the family. This is a good thing. This constitutional amendment on marriage. If you are for the Bible, if you are for morality, you'll want to be for this constitutional amendment. Let me tell you, not every homosexual loves their lifestyle. Some of them want to get out of it. And I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way to get out of a life of sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's forgiveness. That you can be changed, not through a program, but through a new life found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians need to pray about this. They need to talk to others about this and remind them if they're for marriage, they want to be for this. And this will be decided by a simple majority vote. It could come down to one vote, so your vote is important. And I encourage you to talk to others about it. Pray for our state. Pray for a spiritual awakening in our midst. Noah's going to come give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at www.mountlebanonbc.org.